Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and get started this morning, y'all. We got a lot of ground to cover. Really excited about what we'll be sharing with you this morning. I think that it's going to be life-changing, life-altering to many of us. Amen. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So as we continue hitting it with the Word of God, I think it was Sherry Kaylor that maybe said it during the ladies' conference, that it's like a hammer, and you just keep hitting it, you keep hitting it, you keep hitting it with the Word. Eventually, that brick will break. That brick, that stronghold of sickness and disease, you keep hitting it with the Word, it cannot stand, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations. Amen? Well, let's go to Luke, the fourth chapter. Luke chapter 4, and let's stand to our feet. This is the truth that we stand on. Hallelujah. Luke, the fourth chapter. And I want you to read it. I want you to quote this after me with some oomph, with some sincerity, with some boldness. Hallelujah. You know, I'm reminded right now of Hebrews, where toward the end of that epistle, where he said, the Lord said he will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what can man do to me? See, when God says something, that should result in us turning around saying the same thing boldly. So let's say it boldly this morning. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning for our jubilee. We thank you that in Christ Jesus, we live in a perpetual freedom, a perpetual redemption, a perpetual jubilee where things are being restored to us that the devil has tried to steal. All our captivity is being returned captive, hallelujah, to us, so that we can possess the kingdom. Because you said, Father, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. So this morning, we resolve in our hearts, Holy Spirit, to take by force the kingdom that has already been afforded to us. The price has already been paid, so Lord, we will obtain our full and complete redemption in this place. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Well, you may be seated. Glory to God. Jubilee. Christ is our jubilee. Well, I wanted to make a couple of announcements before we get into the Word this morning. Make sure, if you haven't already done so, grab one of our church calendars that we have. This is something you can post on your refrigerator and basically remind yourself when we have different activities, when certain service times are. Of course, on the bottom is when we've got some birthdays. And we got a birthday in this church today. Ms. Ellen Golden, who will be showing up here pretty soon, his birthday on Cinco de Mayo. Yesterday was May the 4th be with you. Today is Cinco de Mayo. Yes. So this is just a good tool for you to stay connected of what's going on with the church. Also, I wanted to announce to you, this coming week, we will be having our women's Bible study on May the 12th. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Make sure you sign up for that. Also, on the 14th, we're having our men's breakfast, which is next Saturday. Not this coming one, but the next one. We're having our men's breakfast at Spud Dogs this time. So don't come to the church. And I'll give you some more information on that. It's going to be a way of us to show support for Scott Long, one of our members. Also, I wanted to announce one other thing that we have a sign-up sheet for in the foyer. I'm going to be beginning a Bible study on May the 25th, Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. It's going to be a six-week Bible study on the subject of how to study the Bible. How to get into the Word of God yourself and extract the truths in there. There's a lot of things over my relatively short ministry that God has shown me of tools of how to study the Word and how to get understanding of the Word of God. So I'm looking forward to being able to share those things with y'all because, you know, it's one thing to come and get taught like this. This is good. This is necessary. Okay? You're never going to graduate past getting taught, but at the same time, it is sure a whole lot better to be able to get in the Word yourself and be able to extract these truths and get the revelation, because those are the things you won't forget. I come to people and ask them, say, yeah, what was I preaching? Oh, I liked that message last Sunday, Pastor Trey. What was I preaching on? Can't quote me one scripture, can't remember half the things that I said, but you know what you do remember? The things God gives you personally. Yes. Amen. So that's why that's so important. So sign up for that. That will be a good thing for you. Well, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. You high pointers know where we're going. Galatians chapter 3. We've been doing a study here on Sunday mornings on the subject of being redeemed from the curse of the law. Redeemed from the curse of the law. And we've been getting excited about it. Amen. It's been something that's just fired us up because, boy, when you start seeing the legalities that are involved in the kingdom of heaven, you know what it's going to do? It's going to keep you from praying those prayers to where, oh, God, we're asking you to heal them. God, I ask you to heal me. Please heal me. If you see fit in your will and plan and destiny, would you come and touch me? No, we don't pray like that anymore because there are things that have already been purchased for you. How many of you know that if I gave you a gift today, you're not going to come to me later and say, hey, Trey, would you mind giving me this? And I'll be like, I already gave you that. Why are you asking me to give you something I've already given you? Well, see, that's what so many Christians are doing with God. God said there's things that have already been purchased for you, already been bought for you. There's things that have already been given to you. So we're not asking the Lord to do something He's already done. Amen. What are we doing? We are forcing and enforcing the things that God said He's already done, that they are realities in our life. Which is your healing, Tony. Healing from cancer has already been done. It's already been purchased. So when you base it on that, you'll fight for something. I was talking, it was Minton this week, and he brought out a good illustration that I thought was really good. You know, if somebody broke into your house, okay, and started trying to take your furniture, taking your computer, your TV, your jewelry, and things like that, are you just going to sit back and just basically let them come and take everything? Why? Because you know that's your stuff. And you're not going to allow somebody to just come in your house and take your stuff. But you know why so many Christians let the devil come in, the thief come in, the destroyer come in, and steal, kill, and destroy from? Because they don't know what is their stuff. They don't know it's theirs. Amen. It's yours no matter what. Glory to God. So enforce it. Fight it. And we're going to get into some of those things this morning. So Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Let's read it together. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that's us, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know, that's how everything happens in the kingdom of God, through faith. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of heaven. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, this is how everything is obtained. It's not by works. It's not by begging and pleading. It's not by self-effort, self-striving. It's not by traditions. It's not by, certainly not by religion. The Bible says the traditions of men make the word of God of none effect. In other words, God can be telling you certain things are yours, and you through your traditions cut off your ability to receive them. Faith is how you receive from God. Amen. Well, right here he says, Christ, this is something you can have faith in. Verse 13 again, Christ has redeemed us. So this isn't something God's going to do one day. This is something God's already done for us. We have already been redeemed. And we've studied here on Sunday mornings that the word redeem means to what? To purchase, to buy back, or to ransom from the control, dominion, and authority of somebody else. Now certainly, we used to be subject to the kingdom of darkness. We used to be under the control of Satan. We were sons of disobedience. Therefore, there were certain things that we were just subject to. But not anymore. I said not anymore, because Jesus Christ, through His blood, paid the price for you and I to live free from the dominion of darkness. So then all we need to do is find out what comes from the kingdom of darkness. What comes from Satan and sin. And we're going to find out this morning one great and glorious truth. One major thing that falls under the guise of darkness is sickness, disease, infirmity, and weakness. So if we've been redeemed, if the price has been paid for us to live free from that, why are we continuing to walk in it? Now, this isn't meant to condemn anybody that is walking in it. What this is meant to do is to stir up you to realize this is mine and I can resist this affliction that's trying to come against me, because it ain't mine no more. That's why he says Christ has redeemed us from the what? The curse of the law. Now go over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to look at these general promises before we go back and look at the curse of the law. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Thank you, Lord. God's word is eternally true, amen. And when you mix faith with it, it works. Hallelujah. We're not trying this. Hallelujah. The word's trying you. Amen. Are you going to believe that this is true simply because it's written? It's written. This is spiritual truth. Look at this. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Now, it is the gospel of Isaiah. Isaiah is called the fifth gospel by some people. Did you know that? Why? Because it has so many clear illustrations and projections of what the Messiah would do for us. Thank you, Lord. In fact, though, Isaiah saw something different than even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did. Because he was seeing through the spiritual lens. So he was seeing not just Jesus physically hanging on the cross and what happened to him physically in his sufferings. He saw what really was causing the suffering, which was the sin, the transgression, the iniquity that was placed upon him. The iniquity of us all was laid upon him. But at the same time, all our sickness, disease, and infirmities were laid upon him. Notice this. Surely. Now stop right there. I love that word surely, because this means certainly, absolutely. And as our Lord and Christ said time and time again, verily, verily, I say unto you. So you know what you can do? You can bet the bank that what he's about to follow this word surely with is absolute, bona fide, eternal truth. Surely, he, Jesus, has borne our griefs and carried our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Now if you back up to verse 4, when he says surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, that's a good truth. Amen. And that is an absolute truth that you see in the Word of God, that Jesus Christ paid for your emotional problems. For the sorrow and the grief that tries to grip us from time to time, Jesus already bore what for us? He bore our depression. He bore our mental and emotional illnesses. Amen. Did you know you're free from that? Glory to God for that. Because why? The Bible says the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, which that's ultimately what it's all rooted in. A spirit of fear. That's where all this depression and all these negative mental and emotional things come from. It's rooted in fear. Everything's rooted in fear. Okay? So he hadn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power. Well, I'm just a timid, shy thing, Pastor. No, you're not. You got a spirit of power. You're a Gideon. Glory to God. A spirit of power and a spirit of love. Glory to God. And listen to this. A spirit of a sound mind. You know what that means? In the Greek, you go look up the word sound mind, and it literally means saved mind. Sozo. So Jesus has given you freedom, salvation, wholeness, and healing to all your mental faculties. So surely he is born our griefs and our sorrows. But this is not actually what the Hebrew words mean. If you go look these words up, you'll find out that the word for griefs is more often in the Hebrew language translated sicknesses. Surely he has borne, which to bear something described a horse carrying a load of sticks on its back, physically bearing something. Well, you know, Jesus is our scapegoat. Remember the scapegoat? They'd place their sin on it, send it outside the camp. That goat had to carry and bear the sin of the camp, and they'd send him outside. Well, Jesus was taken outside the camp to hang on the cross. But what was placed on him? Not just our sin, but our sicknesses. Surely he bore our sicknesses. And look at this. And carried our pains. The word for sorrows is the more literal translation for the word pains. So not only the diseases and the illnesses that you have, but Jesus has already bore the physical pain that you have.
Thank you, Lord.
Not just bacterial infections. We're talking about irritant pains in your knees, in your back, in your neck. God has redeemed you from pains in the neck. That might be your neighbor. Amen. He's redeemed us from all these things. Notice this now. It says, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. You know what that means right there? Yet, when we saw, which of course we're not talking about us personally, but when they saw him hanging on the cross, they looked at him. See, we have the privilege of hindsight. When they were looking at it, they looked at that as a sign. God was displeased with this man. God was punishing him. God was judging him for him to hang on this cross like that. That was a sign of God's judgment. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But notice what he says. But he was wounded, sure. And he was bruised, sure. But it was for our iniquities and for our transgressions. The chastisement needful to obtain our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So we understand now, Jesus, bearing our sicknesses, carrying our pains, transgressions, and iniquities, didn't do it because he deserved it. He did it willingly because of us who deserved it, so that we could obtain healing, wholeness, freedom, and forgiveness. That's good news. So he took it for you. So why would we be okay with taking it? Why would we be okay with continuing to do it? That's double jeopardy. For us to accept death in our life. Now, I'm not talking about physical death. That's one thing we have not been redeemed from yet. We are going to physically die, save the Lord comes back. Okay? But you ain't got to experience death in your body all along the way, which is sickness and disease and stuff. You don't have to have it. And we're going to get into some details of why. I can prove it to you. Glory to God. So by his stripes we are healed. Now, we know Isaiah is forecasting. Seeing Jesus on the cross, we are healed as a result of him being on the cross and bearing all these things. But 1 Peter 2:24 says, in hindsight, after Jesus is raised from the dead, talks about by his stripes we were healed. So you already had healing provided for you because Jesus took it upon himself on the cross. And when he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, the healing and wholeness that he experienced from death, hell, and the grave is now our rightful inheritance. So we can live the resurrection life. And what does the scripture say? Yes. Romans chapter 8 says that the same Spirit who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also quicken your mortal body. He ain't talking about your spirit there. He'll quicken your mortal body. Through the resurrection, now your physical body has the right to lay claim to resurrection life. Amen. Good news right here. Now, it's the truth that'll make you free. We're hitting it like a hammer. Bang, bang, bang. I feel like a spiritual Thor this morning. I got the hammer. Bang! We're hitting that sickness and disease. Glory to God. Now, go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Because Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Now, the curse of the law is described in detail here in Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 68. A lot of details are listed. So when we go back and read this, we're going to find out these are some pretty horrible things listed here. I mean, it's like the worst kind of things, basically. I mean, having to eat your children. I mean, just basically seeing your children led away captive and suffering, and you and your body being dealt all these physical afflictions, never being able to succeed, always the borrower and never the lender. I mean, this is some horrible stuff. So when you go back and read this, don't read it through the lens of fear, which would say, man, I sure hope none of those things happen to me. No! You read this through the lens of Galatians 3:13 that says Christ has redeemed us from these things, so therefore, I don't ever have to receive or accept any of these things ever happening in my life. Amen. And we're going to go through some details, because actually I had it on my plan on Sunday morning to talk about being redeemed from this specific thing, sickness and disease. Well, I was like, well, I certainly can't withhold it from all you that aren't here on Sunday morning, since this is healing school. Amen? And plus, you need to hear it twice anyway, so you'll remember what we're talking about. Deuteronomy 28. Now, let's start in verse 21. And we're going to look at some of the physical things that he describes as being results of the curse of the law. Verse 21 says, "The Lord will make the plague," say the plague, "cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess." Okay? Now, let's back up a second before we get into talking about what the plague is. Notice the purpose of this plague clinging to you. It's to keep you from possessing the land which you're supposed to possess. Did you know that's one of the main reasons you should resist sickness, disease, and infirmity in your life more than anything else? Because the ultimate goal, you know why the devil's doing it? He's not just trying to make you, well, at least I made him feel bad. No, he's trying to keep you from your purpose and destiny. From walking in everything that God has for you. See, when you're sick and diseased and everything like this, one of the main reasons that you should resist it like the plague that it is because what it does then is it drains you of your time, your focus, your energy, your finances, right? How many of us have poured money into all these different medications that we have to get because of the infirmity and illness? How many of us have just, it takes away our attention, and when we come to church and we come to a gathering like this, we're so much in pain that we're so focused on my pain when you should be focused on other people's pain and relieving them from that. But if you're sick and infirmed and things like that, that's why I tell people like that about finances. That's why God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed in your basket and in your kneading bowl. Why? So you are not having to worry about me and my four. But so that I have an abundance for every good work and I'm able to pour into blessing other people.
Amen.
Amen. Me and Shannon lived years like that, where we were just scraping by and felt like we couldn't ever give anything out, and barely felt like we could tithe, because why? We felt like we didn't have enough money to do anything. But you got to be faithful in little, and you sow in little, and you believe God to bless you and prosper you and increase you. So why? You ain't got to worry about, can I pay my bills? And you're worried about paying other people's bills. Not having to worry about my car because I want to give other people a car. Start where you're at. Be faithful in little and watch God make you ruler over much. Well, it's the same thing with your physical body. You need to believe God for your freedom so that you can be more productive in the kingdom and possess the land that He has for you. But notice that He says it's the plague that clings to you. Okay? Now, this word plague, now y'all take a picture. Somebody take a picture of me right now because I'm going to use actual notes today. This is a miracle. Amen. The plague, I felt like I went to medical school this week because I went and looked up a lot of these things. And it's important for us to understand what we've been redeemed from. The plague is an infectious disease by bacteria. So it's a bacterial infection. And depending on what areas of the body that are infected, the lymph nodes, the blood vessels, or the lungs, will determine what concentrated areas of the body are affected. That's what a plague is. See, they looked at it like a plague as we think of a plague, it's something of catastrophic proportions, right? Well, it's because they didn't have a lot of the medicines back then. So if somebody just got a basic fever or something like that, that we got medications to help us with, they could die. And they looked at it like a plague, anything that was infectious, okay? So basically, by our standards, a plague is simply a disease. It's a disease. We see in other translations, it is described as being plagued with diseases, infected with plagues, and having disease after disease cling to us. Okay? So what do we see from this? If the Lord says, under the curse of the law, I will strike you with the plague until it's consumed you from the land, what can we gather from that? I have been redeemed from bacterial infections and diseases. So guess what? Anytime an infection tries to come against your body, anytime bacteria tries to invade your body and make you sick, what should you stand up and say? No, 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 devil. Galatians 3:13 tells me I have been redeemed from the curse of the law, which means, therefore, I have been redeemed from bacterial diseases and infections. So you're dealing with it from a legality standpoint. You see what I'm saying? And you fight it. And we're not wishy-washy, oh God, please, I can't afford to get sick. And you get all in fear and you end up getting sick. Amen. So, and this is actually not the only scripture. I love. Go over to Psalm 91. Hold your place there. Psalm 91. How many of you love Psalm 91? Oh, yes. This is one of the best things that you can pray over your life on a daily basis. And we did a study at this church for months on this psalm. And you can actually go to our website and go back into the archive and listen to it. I'd encourage you to do so. Because you need to find out you got a God who is very protective. He will protect you, deliver you out of all kinds of things. And that's where it becomes important for us to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me stay close to God in that secret place because that's the place where I'm covered by His feathers. Well, Psalm 91 gives us a wonderful promise. And it's commonly understood that the author of this psalm is the same one who authored Deuteronomy 28. Moses. Did you know Moses wrote Psalm 91? Look at verse 9. Because you made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Stop right there. This is what you should do. Anytime anything that's under the classification of evil would try to fall on you, what should you be saying? Nope, according to Psalm 91 and verse 10, no evil shall befall me. And I will not receive this. I will not have this. Devil, you have no right. Now notice this. Nor shall any what? Plague come near your dwelling. Now your dwelling is the place you live. So this has got a twofold effect. This can be talking about your physical house that you live in. I mean, you basically look over your house and say, man, there is a bloodline around this house. No plague, no bacterial infection or disease can enter into the place that I live. Or it could be relating to the place that the real you lives. Your spirit man lives in this temple. So no bacterial disease or infection can enter into this body. It has no right. It cannot stay. It will not befall me, and it will not come near me. That's what it says. No plague shall come near your dwelling. I love that. It's not like, not only can it not infect me, it can't even come close to me. It's like it's sitting there, oh, I wish I could get her. I wish I could. No, you can't come near me. Can't touch this. Amen. You can't do it, devil, because I'm free. And see, you need to talk like this. Some of y'all wouldn't dream of ever talking to the devil that way. Because you got a misconception thinking the devil can do something to you. He can't do nothing to you. I'll say it boldly, particularly because he's deaf and hard of hearing. I will not be infected with disease or infections in my body. Has no right. When you start talking that way, that's when it doesn't have the right. It won't happen to you. But you got to start knowing what you got. What you got ownership over.
Amen.
Amen? Praise God. See, when Moses said this, he's talking to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. Now, Egypt being a type of the world. Okay? You live in Goshen, glory to God. And Goshen experiences different things than Egypt. In other words, we live in this spiritual hemisphere, if you would, to where the same things that touch the world out there, it's flu season. And how many of us Christians just buy it, hook, line, and sinker? Oh, it's flu season. I guess I'm going to get sick this year. No, not me. That falls under the plague. And it will not come near my dwelling. I don't receive it. That's why I don't get the fear shot. I mean the flu shot. Now, you better know who you are before you start doing stuff like this. But when you know you're healed, when you know you're redeemed, this is the way you'll talk. Back to Deuteronomy 28. Thank you, Lord. Verse 22. This is good stuff right here. You ready for this? 28 and 22. Now, when you start reading these things, I don't know what translation you got. I read from the New King James. But when you start reading these things, you need to understand that he's speaking to a group of people in a different time period than us. They had different sicknesses and diseases than we do today. So we need to look these words up and find out really what they mean to see how they relate to us from our medical science today. Okay? Notice the first thing. Verse 22. The Lord will strike you with consumption. Consumption. Okay? Now, when you look the word consumption up, it literally means a wasting away of the body. A wasting disease is the way it's translated three different times. You know what else it's translated three times? Tuberculosis. So guess what? I've been redeemed from tuberculosis. Specifically, glory to God. Now, I asked some doctor and nurse friends. Thank God we got about three or four different nurses in this church. So I texted them. I said, what would you classify as a wasting disease? A disease that causes the body to waste away. These are some of the things that came back to me. And y'all could probably give me some other ones. Maybe you've experienced some of them. Some examples of wasting diseases would be Alzheimer's. Lou Gehrig's disease. It would describe any disease that causes the muscles to deteriorate and the body to become weaker. So you just find out what's the wasting disease that might be coming against you that's laying waste to your body. And you basically say, nope, I have been redeemed from the consumption, from the wasting disease. Muscular dystrophy, that would be another one, wouldn't it? I'm serious. I mean, and that's not an exhaustive list. These are just some things that came back to me. What is something that lays waste to the body? You're redeemed from it.
Right.
Glory to God. Now notice the next one. I like this. With, here you go, Evelyn, fever. Fever. Now, we don't need to look this word up to know what a fever is, do we? What's a fever? A fever, we're talking about high temperatures. In fact, if you look here at the end of the middle of the verse, it talks about with a severe burning fever. Okay? Now notice this. One translation says, the recurrent fever. What does that mean? We've been redeemed from the recurrent fevers that try to come up every year around the same time. The Hebrew word for fever is also defined as burning fever or inflammation. Okay? Now, this is an important thing for us to look at because we're going to see the word inflammation here in a minute. But when you look up and actually study it from a proper perspective, what a fever is and what inflammation is, I did some research on this. Fevers and inflammation are actually not the bad things. They are the result of the body's reaction to the bad things that are already in your body. So we're not really trying to necessarily get free from the inflammation or the fever. What we're trying to get free from is the thing that's causing our body to become inflamed and feverish. But this gives us an awesome truth right here. Because what this teaches us is our body is perfectly, fearfully, and wonderfully designed to fight off sickness and disease. The healing agents in our body that cause wounds to heal back up and fight off bacterial infections and things like that. You know what that should teach you and I? It is absolutely, positively, no way God's will for you to be sick. Because why would God create our bodies in such a way that they would try to repel this sickness and disease? If he's putting it on you, right? Why? But here's the point, and something that we need to get a hold of, because I'm seeing this. This is what the Lord's putting in my heart regarding these messages. Our soul needs to get to the place where it fights sickness and disease that comes against us the same way our body fights it. And the reason why so many people continue to wallow around in it, one of the main causes, you know why? It's because they're not fighters. They just accept it. They just take it. This is just the way it is. We live in this world. It's flu season. And we just can't live free from these kind of things. Because we put ourselves in the same category as the world out there. And you are not just a man anymore. You are not just a woman anymore. You are now a child of God with the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead living in you. Therefore, your soul needs to rise up and say, I will not accept, I will not tolerate this in my body anymore, and I'm going to fight it away just like my body's trying to fight it away through these fevers and inflammation. Become a fighter and come against it. Amen. Now here in Deuteronomy 28, notice this one now. He says, with the fever and with the inflammation. I love this right here. This is good. Actually, with all these, the fever, the inflammation, and the high temperatures, it's basically just talking about extreme high temperatures. So anything that would cause you to get a fever, to break normal, you won't have to have that. You're redeemed from it. Amen. And then the word inflammation, next on this list, is translated, listen to this, malarial fever. And it's actually translated, this is good, in two translations, this word is translated as a mere cold. Now somebody will hear that and they'll be like, no, I don't know about that, Pastor. I don't think we can live life of being free from the colds that come against us from time to time. Not according to this scripture. You don't even have to have a cold. You don't have to just accept it. You don't have to have it. Amen. And listen to this. When you look at this word for where it says severe burning fever, this is a good one right here. Severe burning fever is also translated, listen to this one right here, strep throat. You're redeemed from strep throat. You ain't got to have strep throat, ever. Glory to God. Another defines it as influenza. You're redeemed from influenza. Amen. Isn't this good news? Because, I mean, what I find is that We who've heard about healing for so long, we hear, by his stripes you were healed. He himself bore our sickness and carried our pains. And we see it from a general standpoint, but we become numb to it because we've heard it so long. So it's not living in us. But when you start seeing specific infirmities, specific illnesses listed in your redemption and in the atonement, it revives something in you. And you're like, man, I don't have to have this. Are you serious? Glory to God. I do not have to have these things in my body anymore. Now skip down to the next one where it says, past the sword and the scorching. Notice this one, the mildew. The mildew. You know what the mildew is defined as in a couple of translations? It describes jaundice or paleness of face. So guess what else we're redeemed from? We're redeemed from kidney and liver problems. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed from the mildew. One minister that me and Minton get a lot out of, Keith Moore, I was listening to him talk about some of these things, and he said, oh, people will read that and say, oh, thank God, I'm redeemed from having to clean that bathtub anymore. We're redeemed from the mildew. He said, no, that falls more under the curse of the fall than the curse of the law. But kidney and liver problems are certainly included in it, and we're redeemed from those things. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now let's skip down to verse 27. Thank you, Lord. Verse 27, this is a good one. The Lord goes on to say here, he will strike you with the boils of Egypt. Anybody got the King James Version in here? Botch. The botch of Egypt. Now see, we have no idea what this is, right? This is evidently a thing that was going around back then that people were terrified of. We don't want to ever have this again. And you don't even need to know what that is to know you don't want it. Do you? How many of you would ever just receive, if somebody came with you a little vial and said, hey, here's some botch of Egypt. Do you want to take this too? You'd say, no, sir, I don't want to take that with me. But you're redeemed from it. The boils of Egypt. Now, this is what this means when you look it up. The King James calls it the botch of Egypt. But it's also translated, listen to this, burning sores, scabs, an inflammatory disease. That's what this basically was. Burning sores, scabs, and inflammatory disease. It's even translated ulcers 3 times. Now listen, what is an ulcer? An ulcer is basically a sore, whether it is on the surface of the skin or lining the intestinal tract of the body, right? So bless God forever, I've been redeemed from ulcers. I don't ever have to have an ulcer in my life. I don't need to tolerate it. Don't need to have these things anymore. Glory to God. Now notice the next one. After he says the boils of Egypt, he says with what? Tumors. Whew. Now we know what a tumor is, and it's most often translated this, tumors, but here's another thing it's translated as. This word tumors is also translated hemorrhoids, and swellings in the groin area. So I'm redeemed from hemorrhoids and swellings in the groin area. I don't never have to have any of those things in my life. The price has been paid for those things. Glory to God. Isn't that awesome? Now notice the next one. The scab. The scab. Now that just sounds bad too. You don't want none of that, do you, Donna? I mean, oh, I never want to have the scab in my life. Well, you look this word up. This is interesting. I don't even know what some of these diseases are, even though I've heard them. Several translations define it as scurvy. What is scurvy? It is a disease that can cause anemia, exhaustion, swelling in parts of the body, and sometimes ulceration in gums and the loss of teeth. So guess what? Galatians 3:13 tells me I've been redeemed from the scab, from scurvy, from ulcerations in the gums and loss of teeth. The Hebrew word used here is also translated, listen to this, eczema. What is eczema? It's problems in the skin. Amen? One translation describes this as a rash. So guess what? I don't have to put up with a rash in my body even. But we just tolerate that because it's a little one. I don't have to tolerate the rash. And listen, you need to learn to fight the little ones so that you can build yourself up in faith when you tackle those to be able to tackle the bigger ones. Don't try to go from 0 to 100 on this. Fight the little stuff. And I mean, I started seeing this, and I've had this little, I don't even know what you call it, but it's like a cyst or something like that. But basically, it's like this little bump in my earlobe right here, and every once in a while, it'll get infected, and it'll swell up, and I have to basically cut into it to get the pus out and stuff like that. And I just I've always tolerated it. Not no more. I'm speaking to it right now in the name of Jesus. This is cursed, and it will leave my body. But it's no big deal, Pastor. It is a big deal. Because if I tolerate one little thing, I might tolerate something bigger. I am redeemed from anything that falls under that line. Now, it's also called, like I said, eczema. It's a rash. This is a good one. The Septuagint translation translates this word scab as the malignant scab. The malignant scab. So what are we talking about there? Skin cancer. Skin cancer is covered under the curse of the law. Therefore, according to Galatians 3:13, I am redeemed from every form of skin cancer. And I'm going to camp on this one for a minute because you know why? Because people tolerate skin cancer more than they tolerate other forms of cancer. And you know why? Because they go back and say, well, this is just a result because when I was a kid, I never put sunscreen on. I hung out in the sun too much. Therefore, I deserve this. That's a lie, and that's something that keeps people bound up. You don't deserve any sickness and disease. I don't care what you've done to deserve it in the natural. In the spiritual, you do not deserve it. You can receive healing by mercy just as much as you can receive healing by grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And there are scriptural examples talking about receiving healing by mercy. You might have done something to deserve it. Meaning, you might have ate wrong your whole life and it's caused heart problems or whatever. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ and Christ alone has redeemed me from heart disease and failure. Doesn't matter what I've done. Okay? Now, we certainly need to be using wisdom. You need to be listening to the Holy Spirit and do the natural things. Those are part of it. But don't buy the lie that you have to have this because of poor decisions you made in your past. Right. Hold your place here and go to Philippians chapter 2. Let me show you a good point of this. Y'all getting anything out of this? Yes. Philippians chapter 2. How many of y'all have heard of a man named Epaphroditus? Oh man, I searched it on the internet to find out anybody that knew anything about this man, Epaphroditus, and all these unbelieving believers have articles after articles on the internet describing why this is an example to us of why God's not always wanting to heal us. And what's so amazing to me about it is this man got healed. And they're using that as justifiable reasons of why somebody doesn't get healed. Look here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. Paul said, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick. Almost unto death," meaning this guy was very ill and it looked like he was going to die. Came close to death's door. "But God had mercy on him." So he ended up getting healed. But why? How did he get healed? God had mercy on him. Now we define mercy as not getting what you do deserve. Right? So you know what we can determine here? The very fact that this was mercy here is that there was something this man did to deserve this illness that almost brought him to death. And you actually find this out if you skip down to verse 30, because it says, because for the work of Christ he came close to death. Listen to this. Not regarding his life to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. So why did he get sick? Because he was doing something for Christ. He was delivering this gift to the Apostle Paul from the church of Philippi. Probably exposed himself to the elements as he was going and pressing through to get this thing to Paul. And put himself in a situation to where an illness came upon him. To where it looked like he was going to die. And he did something to deserve it, even though it might have been a noble reason. But God had mercy on him. So guess what? You can receive healing by mercy. Even when you might have done something to deserve it, you can still get healed. And you know what my case in point is on this? Malchus, the last healing Jesus ever performed. The man was a soldier, a temple guard. And he came and was a part of this party being led by Judas to arrest Jesus and take him to the cross. You would consider him an enemy of Christ, wouldn't you? Peter pulls out his knife, cuts the man's ear off. Jesus, see, you know what most Christians would have done? Right after he got his ear cut off, they'd have been saying this, basically. Well, he shouldn't have been doing what he was doing anyways. He deserved to get his ear cut off. He's just going to have to live his life, the rest of his life, with one ear. Right? Not Jesus. Not our Messiah. He takes the ear, puts it back on him, and heals his enemy who deserved what he got. How much more will God heal His children? Jesus heal His brothers and sisters who might have done something to deserve the physical infirmity and illness that they got. It's mercy too, baby. So even if you've done something to deserve the malignant scab, it's still under the curse of the law. Therefore, Christ and Him alone has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And I will not empower any of these things anymore to have any kind of control over me. Back to Deuteronomy 28. Glory to God. The scab. And look at this one. Look at this next one. I mean, these just sound bad. From the boils of Egypt. Verse 27. With tumors. With the scab. And with the itch. One translation says the incurable itch. What's this sound like? How about allergies? Anything that causes you to itch. Anything that causes your skin to break out in hives and different things like that, you're redeemed from it. Thank you, Lord. That's good news, isn't it?
Amen.
And I like this. And from all these things from which you cannot be healed. So you know what else we can lump in under all this? Incurable diseases. Anything that they say you can't be healed from, it's contained in the curse of the law. Anything I cannot be healed from is under the curse of the law. Therefore, according to Galatians 3:13, I'm redeemed from incurable sickness and disease.
Amen.
And don't have to have it. Amen. Glory to God. That's good news. Amen. Does that not fire you up? Now look at verse 35. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. And when I read this and was studying this out, I couldn't help but think of my good friend Larry King. Because what this tells me right here is that anything, that any physical infirmity or affliction that affects the knees or the legs, anything from the bottom and the sole of your foot to the top of your head is covered under the curse of the law. Therefore, I am redeemed from this condition.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. So somebody will hear all this and they'll be like, well, Pastor, you didn't name my infirmity. You didn't name my plague. Well, I'm about to. Let's go to verse 59. And in conclusion, 59. Well, 58. Let's go to 58. Deuteronomy 28, 58. He says here, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Now stop right there. First of all, notice he said he's going to bring this upon you and your descendants. We're talking about your children. Right? So guess what? You've also got included under the curse of the law freedom from plagues, sicknesses, and diseases that would even affect your kids. Hear that, Brenda. So all those over your descendants. And he calls them extraordinary plagues. Wonderful plagues. And that doesn't mean they're good, wonderful. It means that they will make you wonder. Like, what is this? Nobody can figure it out. Doctors can't put their fingers on it. You hear that? Even when the doctor can't tell you what it is, it's an extraordinary plague. It's something that just astounds people. And they're just like, they're floored, flabbergasted, don't know what it is. Well, rejoice over it. Because that's included in the curse of the law. And according to Galatians 3:13, I am redeemed from the extraordinary, wonderful plagues. Glory to God. And then I love this. He says, great and prolonged plagues or diseases, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Well, you look the word prolonged up, look at this. I looked this up in several different translations. Notice how this is translated. This word prolonged plagues, prolonged sicknesses. This is how it's translated. Long plagues and sicknesses. Lasting plagues and sicknesses. Plagues and sicknesses that will never be stopped. Lingering plagues and sicknesses. Long continuance of plagues and sicknesses. Plagues and sicknesses of long duration. Long-lasting plagues and sicknesses. And this one right here, this is our terminology. And plagues and sicknesses that go on and on. What are we talking about? Things that just linger. Things that just don't ever try to go away. They just seem like, why am I dealing with this a year from now? Why do I keep getting relapses of this? I went and visited one of our members in the hospital this week who had been getting rebouts of pneumonia. It's come back like two or three times. Gave her this scripture right here and said, you're redeemed from plagues, sicknesses, diseases that go on and on that just seem to linger. Amen. Falls under the curse of the law. Now notice this. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. Now, Egypt is a type of the world. Okay? So we're talking about basically any sickness, disease, and illness that's out there. Discovered or not discovered, it has no right to come in here. Amen. Now for the good verse, verse 61. Now this is the curse of the law, is it not? Notice this one. Also, say also. Every sickness. Say every sickness. And every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, will the Lord bring upon you to you until you are destroyed. You didn't have to quote that part. Because we're redeemed from it. Every sickness, every disease that's not even listed in here, we're redeemed from it. According to Galatians 3:13. So we don't have to put up with it. We don't have to tolerate these things. We don't have to just have them come into our life and just be like, well, maybe hopefully God in His sovereign plan and purpose might choose and see fit to heal me one day. No, Christ has already redeemed you from all of these things through His precious blood. Therefore, we, through faith, need to apply that blood to our proverbial doorpost and say, the destroyer must pass by my house because I am redeemed from all these curses. Amen. Glory to God. So we got to get a fighting spirit. spirit built up on the inside of us and start fighting these things and not accepting them, not taking them and saying, these damnable diseases must leave. They cannot stay in my house. They can't even come close to me. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from all sickness, all disease, and from every single one of these things, including the botch of Egypt. Amen. That's pretty good news, isn't it? Almost too good to be true. But because it's the gospel. And that's why we need to hear this. Because then you know what you're doing to drive out all these sicknesses and diseases? You're taking your gospel.
Yes, sir.
And you're just taking it and taking it and taking it until it drives out all these curses that have no right to be in your life any longer. Amen? Well, let's stand on our feet.